Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. This has been such an incredibly busy week, and I've really struggled with this homily. This is the third time I'm giving this homily, and it just changes every time, because I think, what am I trying to say, really? What is it I'm really trying to say here? I was at a dialogue Friday afternoon and yesterday with the Vaishnava Hindus and the Catholics. These are the Hare Krishnas. Hare Krishnas means praise God. And I don't know, when I was a kid, these were the people that you were frightened of in the public places, right? They're the greatest people in the world. They are wonderful, wonderful people. And I look forward to our dialogue every year. And the topic this year was love your enemies. And how does that read from the faith of the Hindu people, and how does that read from the faith of Catholics? And one of the things that we said was that the kind of love that Jesus requires of us, you know, even my mom always used to say, you don't have to like everybody, but you have to love everybody, right? The kind of love that we have is something that is rooted in faith. It must be rooted in faith, because it has to have that kind of bedrock for it to make sense. And so in this discussion we were having, we were talking about how all of us have times when we think maybe our faith is not that strong. They looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, yeah, I have it too. It happens to me. And one of the topics that I think most of my life I've just sort of accepted but not really thought about too deeply, because I don't know what I would come up with, is the resurrection of Jesus. It's one of those things where you think, well, of course it happened. I mean, it says so, right? This whole event of Jesus in history, the incarnation, his suffering and death and resurrection, these are all facts that we believe. But how much have you really thought about it? And I find the readings that we have today being very enlightening in this area. I think an excellent meditation for us this morning. So the gospel that we have today is still Easter night, Easter Sunday night. Even though it's already the third Sunday of Easter, we've just been sort of reworking this whole event at every Mass, not just Sundays, but weekday Masses as well. We've dug into the fact about how all the things that came before, all the things that foretold Jesus or foreshadowed Jesus in those different ways. We talked about that. We talk about the witness of the apostles, the effect that the resurrection of Jesus had on the early community. Again today, St. Peter's out there preaching, this Jesus whom you put to death is the one, and you will find life in him alone. It's the whole idea that this was not a secret event. So it's the night of the resurrection, This morning, let's just pretend like this is Easter Sunday. This morning, the women, or Peter and John, or Mary Magdalene, or maybe all of them at different times, went to the tomb and found it empty. Mary Magdalene actually encountered Jesus himself. The others encountered beings. In the Gospel of Mark, there was a young man. This is the same morning that Cleopas and the other disciple were discouraged by these events, and they said, "We thought he was the one." I guess he isn't. But then there's this weird story we heard that some of the women of our group went to the tomb and they didn't find him there. So they're walking away, discouraged, and Jesus comes to them and walks with them, spends the whole day with them, and explains to them the scriptures and how all of this had to do about him. It was all about him. People didn't know. They never put two and two together somehow. So they run back after they realize what is happening and how he appeared to them in the breaking of the bread. And that's where the gospel starts today. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them. And while they were still speaking about this, Jesus came and stood in their midst. After the apostles had greeted each other, the ones who were there, if they're in that room, I don't know, but wherever they were, they're like, "We've seen the Lord already. He's appeared to some of us." And the two said, "We have too." He was apparently in two places at the same time. Isn't that strange? And then Jesus appears to them right there, and he shows them his hands and his feet. It can't get much more convincing than that. Maybe this is when Thomas was not there, so Jesus comes back the next week and does it again. But they recognize him, and now they're all back together. And Jesus says, "See. See my wounds, touch my wounds." And then kind of a weird thing that it has to only be included just because it's not something people would normally say. He ate a piece of fish. Now, when I was a kid, I used to think about those cartoons where like a ghost would eat something and the fish would like go down his throat and then swim around in his stomach, right? And that's not what's happening here. He's eating fish just like a normal person. Which to me even reinforces how compatible the divinity of Jesus is with our humanity. You know, if you think about it, how marvelous it is that the Son of God can become one of us and reside in the womb of a virgin girl without causing any harm at all or without having any effect, just being natural, like life. And here it is again, he's eating a piece of fish, just like it's no big deal. And then he says to them, he says, "I said all of this while I was still with you. Everything written about in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms is about me." Imagine having that master class with Jesus, right? Him going through probably every verse of the Old Testament and showing how everything had something to do with him, either about his coming or about his self-giving sacrifice to the Father, about his resurrection. It was all about me all the time. How could you not see it? So the question is, today, can you see it? Because I've never really thought about this before in this intensity. All that's happened for 4,000 years, 2,000 years before Jesus was the whole event of Abraham being called. Even God calling Abraham to sacrifice his only begotten son is an autobiography, isn't it? That foretells what's to come. And Abraham's faith says, "Okay, I'll do it, because I know God's going to provide. This child's a miracle anyway. God's going to provide some kind of solution." There's the faith that allows him to do what he does. And then there's this covenant that is formed between the divine and the human, that finds its full ratification in the person of Jesus himself. 1,200 years before Jesus, Moses had the covenant on Sinai. All of the foretelling of what is to happen, the Passover, the Red Sea, all of these things are foreshadowing the reality of what Jesus does and what Jesus has handed on to us. The time of the exiles, from between 700 and 500 years before Jesus, was a time when they were about to lose everything, and they thought, "Well, we better write all this down." Because up to that point, Scripture had just been an oral tradition, handed on from generation to generation. So they wrote it down. They wrote down all of these amazing things, not even knowing what it meant. And it wasn't until Jesus came and they could look back on all this and say, oh my goodness, this was all about him. What I want to propose to you today is that here is your greatest truth, your greatest proof that this has all happened. Because it was written about for 2,000 years and people didn't even know what they were writing about. And you can look back on it and you can put all of it together in such a way that you can find such amazing faith in what we believe. And I thought, well, if it's proven, then is it really faith? Yes, it is, because even in our profession of faith, twice we say, according to the Scriptures. It's one of those things that has been so simply presented to us that it might even pass us by. According to the Scriptures, Jesus became man, right? The Son of God became man. According to the Scriptures, all of this happened. He died, and he rose from the dead. So I just want to give that to you today because the Scriptures were not composed with Jesus in mind. They were only discovered with the knowledge that we have in Jesus. God gave this gift to us for the centuries before Jesus so that when it happened, we would have faith in him. Scripture, I think, was given to us to change the world. And in the gospel today, we see where it has changed the world. And we know in faith that it can still change the world if we read it and if we believe it.